You guys are looking good. You know that? Everybody surviving pretty good? You know, in Daniel, it talks about the enemy wearing the saints down. Have you felt that? Seems like everybody's dealing with something, aren't they? Aren't you glad we have a Savior? I hope her. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for all you are, for all you do. Lord, you instruct us, you guide us, you save us, you heal us. Send your Spirit today, Lord, to fill this place. Fill us with your love, with your strength, with you. Open up heaven, Lord. Send your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening scripture was in Luke 18, but we're not gonna be there. Well, later we will. We're gonna be in Matthew 15, actually. As I mentioned, everybody's dealing with something. Anybody in here not have something right now that you could bring before the throne of grace and present it to God? We all do, don't we? Seems like the enemy is dealing with us or trying to deal with us in different ways. It may be physical. It may be lost loved ones. It may be damaged relationships with family members. But he's trying to wear us down. So what do? We praise the Lord. That's the most powerful thing we can do. Send out the musicians and the singers first, before the army. Go into battle. Confuses the enemy. That's biblical. That's in 2 Chronicles 20. Sometimes I get my Chronicles mixed up. Matthew 15, I'm gonna read verses 21 through 28. And then I'm going to read the same account or the same thing in Mark chapter 7, but I'm going to be mostly in Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. In Mark it says, And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Okay. I have a quote here. I know it's a quote because I put little quotation marks, you know. I don't know who said it, but your faith will not be defined by what you receive from God. Your faith will be defined by what it takes to stop you from getting to God. Isaiah 50, verse 7 says, For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Set my face like a flint. That's talking about rock solid determination, isn't it? We see this in what we read. Verse 21 in Matthew 15 says, Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. When it says coast, it doesn't mean he went all the way over to the Mediterranean Sea. Coasts in the King James Version means the borders. He was still in Israel. He hadn't gone into Tyre and Sidon. He was right there at the border. And she also came from the same coast. She came from the other side to him. He was in a house. He had withdrawn. If you read several chapters before this, you see that Jesus went through an awful lot. There's an awful lot that was happening. There's the death of John the Baptist, which was a large part of it. But even the Lord knew that he had to withdraw at times. So sometimes we just have to step back from things and just regroup, don't we? We see that with Jesus a lot. He would take time to... When something happened, he would go up on the mountain and he would pray, try to be by himself. And we need that. One of the things that they were trying to do, if you've read the chapters before, is they were trying to make him king. He had fed the multitude and they wanted to come and they wanted to take him. They wanted to make him king. Yes, Jesus was and is to be king. But his time hadn't come for that. There was something he had to do first. He had to perform as a priest before he could be the king. He had to offer his body as a sacrifice for us before he could be the king. So his time had not come. We see this lady. She's a woman of Canaan, it says in Matthew. In Mark, it says she's a Greek. In Jewish culture, there's two types of people. There's Jewish people and there's Greeks. Greek is Gentile. Anybody that isn't Jewish is a Gentile or is a Greek. That doesn't mean she was from Greek or from Greece. It meant she was a Gentile. She came, she cried, she called. Mark 7:25 said she had heard. Where does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She had heard of the things that Jesus had done. She had maybe heard about him casting out a legion of demons out of a man across the lake. She had heard the healing. She had heard about the blind man. Said, Son of David, have mercy on me. She heard. Because she heard, she believed. She had reached the point where he was the only hope. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever realized that he is the only hope? We all have, haven't we? She had faith. But there's always going to be obstacles to faith, isn't there? Obstacles that we have to overcome. And we have to overcome with persistence, don't we? And that's what she did. She had to overcome culturalism. She was a Gentile. He was a Jew. Yeah, I already covered that. Okay. That's what happens when you get ahead of yourself sometimes. And you're, oh, wait a minute. Here it is here, but I already said that. Okay. Jews were commanded to have nothing to do with Canaanites. In fact, they were supposed to kill them all off, but they didn't. And it's like everything. If we don't get rid of the things God wants us to get rid of, they're going to plague us all our lives, aren't they? And yet, there's even there, God can show his grace. You go back to the book of Joshua. A lady named Rahab was a Canaanite. She ended up being an ancestress of our Lord Jesus Christ, didn't she? She had to overcome religion. Her people were pagans. They're idolaters. You probably heard of someone named Jezebel. She came from Sidon. In fact, she was the daughter of a king of Sidon. She worshipped Baal. She had to overcome rejection. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Get rid of her, Lord. She's not like us. And when he finally answered her, his words were harsh. Why? There's two reasons. Actually, we're going to get to that in a minute or so. She had to overcome reality. Think about it. Sometimes we spend a lot of time looking at the way things seem or what we see. Then we forget to look to God. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, and whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I'll look to God. Reality. I had a pastor in Bend that used to say that there's two things. There's reality and there's truth. Reality isn't always as real as it seems to be. But truth is always true, isn't it? Reality. That made me think of a movie, a Jimmy Stewart movie, named Harvey. Anybody ever see that movie? I think it came out in 1950. I didn't see it originally. I was 2 years old then. But there is one line in that movie that always stuck with me, where Edward P. Dowd said, I've wrestled with reality for 35 years, and I'm happy to say I finally won out. Of course, he had a different reality that he was looking at, didn't he? But reality, we have to look beyond what seems to be. We have to look. Because God's reality is reality, is truth. Our reality isn't always. Her reality was that she was from a cursed race. You go all the way back to Noah. The Canaanites were cursed. We are under a curse too, aren't we? That goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Her situation seemed pretty hopeless. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth unto us, after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs, or let the children first be filled. As I said, there are two reasons why he spoke harshly to her. Number one, he wanted her to press in. He wanted to increase her faith. He wanted her to work for it. You go back to 1 Kings 18 and Elijah's up on the mountain praying for rain. God had said he's going to send rain. But he had to pray 7 times. He had to keep praying, didn't he? But there's something else, too. There's another reason. Verse 22, she said, O Lord, thou son of David. What is she calling him? She's referring to him as the Jewish Messiah. She's not Jewish. Did she have a right to appeal to him as because he's the Jewish Messiah? She put him in a position to where he had to respond the way he did. Israel's Messiah was a covenant title. By using that title, she limited what he could do for her. She had no standing. She had no right to approach him on that basis. She had no covenant relationship with him. Remember, this is before the cross. Verse 25, it says, Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Simplicity. A lot of times that's what it takes for the Lord, isn't it? This is a different appeal. Lord, help me. This is throwing yourself on his mercy and on his grace. Lord, help me. Simple little words. I remember driving through southern Oregon. It was in late January, early February of 1993, and we had gotten an awful lot of snow, and I'd gone down to California to a funeral. And we're driving back through southern Oregon. It's going up 97 between Klamath Falls and Chemult. And it was about 4 o'clock in the morning. Everybody else in the car was asleep, and I was driving. And the snow was banked real high on each side. There was enough room for northbound car and a southbound car, and that was it. And all of a sudden, I felt this vibration coming through the steering wheel, and I felt this pulling to the left. I knew what I had. There was a time in my life when I felt I could honestly say that I have more flat tires than anybody. I knew what I had. What am I going to do? Where am I going to pull over? I said two words. I said, please, Jesus. And instantly, whatever it was, maybe it was a chunk of ice that was caught. I know what it was. But no matter what your argument is to what it was, it went away. When I said, please, Jesus, that's it. Sometimes that's all you can say. Sometimes all you can say is, Lord, help me. He knows what you're talking about. She worshiped him. Lord, help me. She had no right to approach him. But yet, she did. Do we have a right to approach him? What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? Who are we that we can come before the holy throne of God? Because of the cross, we can't we? Verse 26, but he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Or as I said in Mark, it says, Let the children first be filled. What he's saying, Matthew 7:6, Jesus said, Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. There's actually two different words for dogs. In Matthew 7:6, it's a hound. It's a mangy cur. It's the same word that's used for when Lazarus was having his dogs lick his sores. When used for people, it means unclean, filthy, or dirty. But here the word he uses is it's a different word. It means a puppy. It means a house pet. Mark 7:27, Jesus said, "Let the children first be filled." He didn't say you can't have what you ask for. He said something else. He actually gave her a glimmer of hope. Let the children first be filled. If there's going to be a first, then maybe that means there's going to be a second. So that caused her to press on a little more, didn't it? One little word. One little word. I can't emphasize enough the importance of every word in the Bible. You've heard me say that over and over. Every word in the Bible. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word in the Bible is important. It's significant. Read those little thens and those little nows and those little ands and those little, all those other little words in there. Read them all and put them all together. Because we miss out an awful lot and we just take the big words and run with it. Let the children first be filled, Jesus said. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." What's she saying? She's saying, okay, I'm a dog. But just a dog's portion is all I need. That's all I'm asking for. Just a crumb of your mercy. Some people just won't take no for an answer, will they? And with God, that's good. Unless he tells you, no, don't ask me again. He did that with Moses. Moses wanted to go into the promised land. God had told him he wouldn't, but he kept asking. And in Deuteronomy 3:26, God said, "Speak no more unto me of this matter." He'll let you know. If he wants you to stop asking, he'll let you know. Until then, ask. Give him no rest. Isaiah 62:6-7, "I have set watchmen over thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold thy peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Give him no rest until he answers you. Our opening scripture was Luke 18:1-8. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man." I always figured that if someone doesn't fear God, they're not really going to regard man, are they? "He feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Is he going to find faith in the earth? Is he going to find faith in you? Is he going to find faith in me? That's a question I ask myself a lot. Is he going to find faith in me? John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Let's look at some people in the Bible. Let's look at the centurion. He placed his servant in the hands of Jesus and he healed him. He said, you don't even have to come. Just speak the word. I'm a man of authority. I understand authority. You have authority. Just say the word, it will be. Let's look at Jairus. He placed his daughter in the hands of Jesus. And he raised her from the dead. Let's look at Lazarus. 4 days in the tomb. Martha and Mary placed him in the hands of Jesus. And he came back to life. Let's look at the hungry multitude. A few little loaves and fishes were placed in the hands of Jesus. And he fed thousands. Twice. And there was baskets of food left over. He always does things abundantly, doesn't he? Exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Let's look at the disciples in a boat in a storm in the middle of the lake. They place themselves in the hands of Jesus and they arrive safely to the shore. There's many more. Matthew 11, 2 through 5. And when John, that's John the Baptist, when John the Baptist had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Go tell John. Go tell John, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Got one more. Let's look at Jesus. His lifeless, battered body hanging on a cross. His body is taken down and placed in the grave, and 3 days later, he lives. He lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future and life is worth the living just because he lives. He lives. And he lives in us, doesn't he? It may be dark out there. It may be Friday. But Sunday's coming, isn't it? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know, I try to picture in my mind the expression on his face when he said that to her. And I think that he had a great big smile on his face. What do you think? Because he loves to bless his people. And at that point, she was one of his people. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Those that come to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I take that to mean that the opposite is true, too. That with faith, we do please him, don't we? Press in. Don't give up. Those who diligently seek you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're an approachable God. That we can come boldly before the throne of grace to seek help in a time of need. To seek mercy and grace at your throne. The veil has been torn. We are allowed to enter right into before your throne. Right into the mercy seat. What a wonderful symbol that is in the Bible. What that teaches us. We can come boldly before your throne. Seeking your help. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning and always. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here and your presence in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, most of all, for your gift of salvation, for the price that you paid for it. What you did for us when we are nothing more than dogs. And yet, in your eyes, we aren't, are we? Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one of us as we go our ways and guide us and direct us and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.